asking us to come and share here today. The theme that I've chosen for today is faith, a wonderful gift from God. I was recently at a Uniting Church conference of evangelical leaders, and in a little small group exercise that we had, I was surprised at the lack of clarity that we had between the lot of us, really, concerning what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. So, it's a mystery, really, that you come to faith. The Apostle Paul says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So Christ speaks to you, and by his own action causes you to have faith. It's the product of his word working in you. And you might remember in John's Gospel how Nicodemus came at night to Jesus and wanted to know a few things, and Jesus said to him, unless you've been born from above, you won't actually follow what I'm saying. And he was a teacher of Israel, so he had to be born anew of the Spirit. He had to hear afresh the things of God and in a living way receive them from Christ himself. So that's the same for us. We need our faith is awakened as Christ speaks to us and stirs and creates within us this wonderful matter called faith. Anyway, as I sort of thought about this matter of faith, I put a little framework together that I thought I would take our people through a series on faith. And this is just sort of how it goes roughly. Titus 2:11 says that ever since Jesus' birth, God's grace has appeared. So God's grace we're going to think of first, then faith, and then repentance. So he says God's grace has appeared, bringing salvation to all. That's what we celebrate every Christmas time. Ephesians in the similar manner says 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So this matter of grace, which is what God has done, and it's the wonderful kind gift we have in Jesus Christ, who bears our sins, rises on the third day, announces peace and forgiveness, reconciles us to God as our Father. That's the gospel of grace. And someone, you know, we used to say a long time ago, grace is unmerited favour. But it's been added, really, a fresh way of seeing that is God. Grace is God moving towards us to do us good all of the time. And so as we sort of receive the finished work of Christ, many of you will have looked over the years probably at the Basis of Union. You've seen that famous document? Yeah. Well, the Uniting Church's understanding is that we speak of and teach from the finished work of Christ. That is his grace, his work on Calvary, his death and resurrection. On that basis, we speak. So that's that action of God's grace. Faith then is, it's really, you could nearly jot this down in your mind, but it's the instrument through which we receive the grace of God. So faith's that instrument, the way in which grace comes to us. And then linked with that is repentance. It's actually the change of mind that we undergo, realising that God's not unfair, not unapproachable, not unknowable, but is kind and good, comes to us for our own good with the gift of eternal life. And so we change our mind. This is a gift as well, the gift of repentance. So there they are, three in a bundle. Faith and repentance come to us from the cross, and grace comes to us that way. And the Spirit brings that all, and through faith we're convicted, we're convinced by the Spirit's action. So there they are, faith, repentance and grace. And we've already sung, there's another little triad in the Bible, faith, hope and love. Those three all belong together. If I can sort of help you to think maybe how you've exercised faith, you've heard Christ say something to you and you've responded to his word. I used to be a dairy farmer down at Maiponga, and one day there was a profound thing happened. I became a Christian. That was because I heard Christ speaking to me and saying very significant things to me, but basically telling me the truth of his cross, and he gave me the gift of faith. I changed my mind, became a Christian. Numbers of years later, Lynn and I were together still dairy farming down at Maiponga, and we both understood together that Christ had spoken his word to us and had said, I want you to leave the farm and go into the ministry. I didn't hear the English words, I want you to leave the farm and go into the ministry, but I knew that's what Christ was saying to me. Lynn knew that what he was saying to me, and when I told my dad, he said, yeah, I'm not surprised. I thought that might be going to happen. So here it is, Christ speaking a word to us, and then we've had the reading there about Abraham in Hebrews 11:8 there, where Abraham set out and he didn't really know where he was going, but he headed off anyway. And I can remember candidating for the ministry and having to convince a whole row of committees, you know, what was happening. And I said, well, we've been called into the ministry, Christ. And of course, you need to test that out. The church tests the call and sees if, and you know, to see if that's what Christ's saying to the church. Anyway, I thought, oh, well, they'll eventually get the idea of this. And sooner enough they did. And so a bit like Abraham, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. Have you ever done that? Set out not knowing where you were going? All the time, you say, every time I leave the house. Well, it is that way, and we do move out in faith, and we live by Christ's word to us. He's speaking to us, guiding us in some ways we hardly even know or realise it, but we speak of the Spirit whispering, guiding us. That's part of the action of a person who's put their faith in Christ. You believe he's the living God. You believe he's present to you. So when you set out, it's a bit, maybe a bit nervy sometimes. You're not quite sure where you're going to end up. But even now, at this stage in your life, you're still living by faith. John and Beryl, we know they set out from down in the Mallee country, not really knowing where they were going to go, and ended up living all their years by faith, based in Adelaide, but moving out all over the place as God guided. That's how we've learned to live by faith. I met a Baptist minister in Clare, and he's lived in the mid-north region the whole of his life, and started at Georgetown and moved around a little bit, and he's at Clare. And so it's in this little circle. He said, I haven't gone far, have I? And but he's been faithfully listening to the Lord's direction, and that's been his location, the place of his ministry. Lynn and I, our family, we've bobbed around all over the place. We've been to Happy Valley and to Mount Barker and Peterborough, down to Tasmania for 7 years, and then back to Port Adelaide in the Churches of Christ congregation, and then up to Clare. So we've moved. That's just in our location for work, let alone all the other things that happen daily, you know, in life. And, you know, many significant things have happened as we've listened together and moved by faith and gone as the Lord's directed us. Amazing, wonderful things have happened. We had a little message this morning from our friends who live in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, a family of six. Some of you may know the Ruby family. They were school teachers here, York Peninsula and around the place. And they knew they were called into ministry. They trained for mission. And Naomi said, "Oh, Lord, please don't send us to Africa, anywhere but Africa." Anyway, the missionary CMS group said, "We'd like you to go to Ethiopia in Africa." Oh, no. Anyway, they've been there about, I think, so coming up for about seven or eight years now. So with a family of four children, and that's them listening to the Lord, setting out. Went and trained in Melbourne, and then they ended up. And of course, they now love Africa. They love the place they've been, and it's been a very significant role they've had in one of the Christian schools, a Christian school over there. So all of the time we're setting out, we're living by faith. But faith, and I'm going to make a few points here that will, I hope, help you and help me to remember again how dynamic it is to be a person of faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And now faith itself doesn't justify us. That's what happened on the cross. So the verses immediately before that say that Jesus was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So there's that finished work of Christ. So then Paul says, "Therefore, since we're justified by faith, we've received the blessings of Jesus' work because of that. We've got peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's set us totally at peace." Is that a word you are familiar? You use that word a little bit? You've been justified by faith? Yes. Because when that's taken place, even though we get caught out trying to do it a fair bit, we don't have to justify ourselves any longer. We've been justified through Christ's death and resurrection. We're at peace through what he's done. It's a very lovely thing. Yeah? Yeah, very good. And that means there's no condemnation for you either because you're in Christ. That's part of that first gift. Faith is also a matter that can make you well. If we look through the gospel readings, and the one that we had today was the disciples firstly were asking, Jesus had said, you know, how often do we have to forgive? And he said, well, you know, like in a day, someone messes up and, you know, you forgive them once, two, three, four, five, six, you've got to forgive. Oh, same thing, they did it again seven times. And it seems an impossible task Jesus is telling them about. So they say, Lord, increase our faith. And he says, well, it's not really more faith you need. If you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, and the rabbis said the mulberry tree, I think, used to take about 600 years to actually dig the thing out. You know, it didn't give up very easily. But he said, if you had faith, you could say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. So Jesus is calling them to a more instant responsiveness to what he's teaching them. And so just says, well, just you learn to go about what I'm teaching you here. So they wanted more faith, but he said, no, just have the thing called faith. Faith actually can make you well. And recently we had a service where we looked at the leper. Do you remember the one Samaritan leper? There were 10, and one of them came back. And they'd all been healed. They were all off to show themselves to the priest and go through the procedure. But one, he was a Samaritan, he turned back. He just had to come back and embark on just new relationship. Thank you! He was changed. He was a different man. And Jesus said to him, they'd all been healed of their leprosy, but he says, your faith has made you well. So it's like he was talking about a different matter now. This responsiveness, this relationship you've come into, it's actually made you well. The people who carried a paralysed man lying on a bed lowered him down through the roof because they couldn't get to Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. And a few moments later, he was healed and he got up. He said, get up, take your bed and go home. And he healed him to show them the sins had been forgiven. But it was their faith, the faith of someone else, that made this person well. You've been prayed for here sometimes and you've gotten better when you weren't too sure whether you were going to recover or not. And quite often it's been the faith of the church. Lord, we need them. Heal them up. Keep them going. There was a woman who'd been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She spent all her money, been to all these doctors, and she just thought, if only I can touch Jesus' clothing, I'm gonna get well. So she sneaks in and she puts her hand on. And this power is just kind of drawn from Jesus. He said, who touched me? And there she is. She just wanted it quietly, but he wanted her healed and well as part of the community. So she came. She's trembling and fearful. She falls down. And he says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases. So faith, just her little bit of hope, little thing that was stirred in her, caused her to be well. Towards the end of Jesus' earthly sort of three-year ministry, he's going towards Jericho, and a blind man shouts out, and he's just desperate. Have mercy on me, son of David. And everyone's quiet. But he leaps out and he says, and Jesus said, what would you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, he thinks, well, I might as well go for the lot. Let me see again. And Jesus says, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. So he again is just drawing near, embarking on that relationship with Jesus, leaning entirely upon him. And then his sight follows. And he praises and glorifies God. So does everybody else. One of the other things I think is pertinent to our faith today. You live in Australia. You're listening to the global discussion about weather, climate, about the changes or the difficulties we're experiencing. You probably know people, if you know in the region here, is struggling or suffering in some way because of that. Sometimes people get very nervous about how the world is or where it's going and so on. But one of the most securing things comes to us in Hebrews 11. By faith, we understand, Hebrews 11, 3, in the first half of that verse, by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God. God says, let there be light, and there was light. And then he divides things and we see layer upon layer, the wonderful creation brought together by the living God. And many, many years later, you know, Peter the apostle, when he sees Jesus risen from the dead, he knows what it means for the future. He says, entrust your souls to a faithful creator. That is, God is faithful to his creation. He will be faithful to it. over and against all the other powers and whatnot that work within the creation. That is his promise, and he's destined it, he's planned it, and he's working that plan out. So it's a wonderful thing. Just now, through your faith, you grasp something of the mystery of creation. How do we get here? Well, I understand it was created by the Word of God. That's what the Word tells you. And you understand also that the future is secured by the Word of God. Jesus himself, the risen Word of God, secured that future. The gift of faith, we're just sort of taking a few aspects here, and I'm about, you know, half, two-thirds through. We've said that faith justifies you, faith makes you well, or you're made well through faith. You grasp something of the mystery of creation. The gift of faith blesses a local congregation. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, a bit like the gift of wisdom or the gift of insight that's given, the gift of faith can be a wonderful blessing in your congregation. You may have had that. I reckon someone put forward this suggestion one day to turn the church around here, didn't they? And someone else sort of had this idea that we could put a foyer between here and the next building. And, you know, there would have been a few people a bit dubious, thinking, oh, I don't know, it's a big project, I don't know if it's going to work. And maybe someone in that meeting just stood up, maybe the person who liked it as it was, stood up and said something like, you know what? I reckon we need a bit of faith to do this. I think it'll make it a more functional building. And everyone goes, oh yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, we'll do that. Now, something like that happens often in congregations. Someone's got a gift of faith for the minute and everybody's drawn into that. Someone's got a gift for singing or preaching or whatever else, but the gift of faith, it's kind of like another level mentioned there, because all the Christians have faith, they all believe in Jesus, but someone's got this kind of extra gift of faith. Our congregation at Clare, about 10 years ago, they said, oh, you know, I think we should try and help our young people's ministry. I reckon we should employ a children's and families worker. And so they said, well, to do this, though, we haven't got the money, so we'll all chip in together into a fund and see if we can make the money. Well, 10 years later, they're still doing that. And they've still managed to do it. It's very unusual. But it's been a huge blessing to the congregation, just because someone came with that idea, that step of faith, and everyone together said, yeah, let's do this. See what happens. We might go broke. We might not be able to make it. But let's step out and take that action in faith, full of hope for the future. My colleague, Nikki Rimmer, some of you may know Nikki. Does anyone know her? No. Well, she puts on, they put on this Christmas production there every year, and it's kind of like a bigger Stedford, you know, at the church, and everyone comes along. Huge blessing to the congregation, just because someone somewhere said, let's, you know, listen to the Spirit, we'll take this step in action of faith. Prevailing faith. Jesus told a parable that people should always pray and not lose heart. You remember that widow who, she wanted something just and fair done, so she came to the judge and the judge said, go away, too busy. No. She came back, said, can you please help me? No, go. She came back again and again and again and again. And eventually he said, oh, this woman's going to wear me out. I'll never get any sleep. Now, I'm an unjust judge and I don't care two hoots for her, but yeah, here we go. There's justice for you. And Jesus said, well, if that's what the unjust judge is like, imagine what the just judge, the fair judge, that's God. No, he speedily and he will listen to you and quickly fix things for you and be fair and kind. And then Jesus said, but you know, that's God in his goodness, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That is, you might go to God for this need and that need, but do you have faith about the future? Are you sold out on what the resurrection means? Are you anticipating a wonderful transformation and renewal of the entirety of creation? Is that where we're headed? A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know that. So Australians even are nervous about the future. Where's it all heading? Well, it is all heading in God's plan that way. And so we can have faith. We can step out and live in faith. And we need to even know, meet that God again who is faithfully working out his plan. One other little qualifier, I'm nearly on the last one. The little qualifier is, Paul did say, there's actually a thing greater than this. He said, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So all that I'm saying today about this matter of faith is shot through all the time. The love of God coming to us, drawing us into faith, and our response and action of life is all linked with faith and hope, linked with hope and love. So, and that's a wonderful thing, just to be mindful of that. Finally, the faith that obeys. We began there, we're going to finish with Abraham. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he still lived in Mesopotamia. He was worshipping idols, wasn't a believer in the true living God. God appeared to him and everything changed. He said, right, move to Haran. And he said, now leave your country and your relatives, go to this land that I'll show you. He left the Chaldeans and settled in Haran for a while. And he looked forward to a future. He believed God even in the face of the impossible. How old was Sarah when she had that little baby? 90, wasn't she? So he was 100. And things are not going along quite as well as expected, you know. There's a big plan for the world and it's hardly moving. But Abraham is there. Sarah's laughing for a little while. But in the midst of the impossible. A friend of mine said the other day, I've not seen the church at a lower ebb, and I don't know that it's been at a lower ebb than it is in Australia at the present time. It was just a commentary, but in the midst of the impossible, the midst of the most unlikely, faith steadily hopes in the risen Christ and obeys his word and believes his word and proclaims that good news to the whole of the creation. Right in the midst of the most difficulty, right in the midst of the least likely, Abraham presses on and believes God's faithful promise, even though Sarah's childbearing years are over. The resurrection of Jesus, if that little impossibility of Sarah's matter happened, what about the risen Lord promising to renew the entirety of the creation, the heaven and earth, give you a new body, a resurrection body with no aches or pains, no arthritic problems at all. And you also, if Abraham with his little bit that he knew and went by, if he pressed on amidst that impossibility, What about you? Do you look forward to a city, that is a community, whose builder and maker, whose architect and foundation layer is God? Abraham looked forward to that. He kept travelling towards that, and he looked forward to that community of faith that God was building. How good is your hope? How dynamic is God's love for you and the creation? Every now and then we have to remind ourselves, yeah, there's problems with China, there's problems with the creation, there's problems with Russia, there's problems with America, there's problems with ourselves, there's problems in this heart. But God so loves the world that he's given his son in the face of all of that to do the great impossible, and that is to bring grace upon grace upon grace. And the resurrected Lord is the beginning of that new creation, and you've been built into that through faith, not even your faith, but Paul says, the life I now live, I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God, Christ's own faith, working in you. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is where it's headed. Let me finally ask, how sure is your faith? I'd never heard it translated this way before, but that Hebrews 11 passage we've been looking at, friend who's a Lutheran pastor wrote this. He said, it can actually be translated, faith is the basis of things hoped for. It's the basis. You've been given the basis of that, the evidence of things not seen. So you've met the risen Christ. That's the basis. You know that all his promises will hold true. That's the evidence there that's working in you. And so let me ask you, how sure is your faith? Sure? Yeah? It's a word. Someone said, you said it's, Lord, still give us a word that challenges the community. We have a very strong word that challenges the community to say that the future of creation is in the hands of the risen Christ and it will be well. And they'll say, oh, you've just made that up. You know, it's just stuff. No, that is the overwhelming truth of the world we live in. And how do we know? We've heard that living Christ speak peace to the apostles and to us, and to lean on him and not on our own understanding. May the Lord add his blessing to the word today. Amen. Shall we pray? O Lord, you're calling us to a life of faith. You've done that when you first helped us to understand that you're a good God. And Father, we thank you that there's a sure basis for this, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that in all of the weakness sometimes we feel of faith, we thank you that your good news, your gospel, still strengthens our faith. So we thank you for this, and we pray that we too might be persistent and prevail amidst our impossible situations, seemingly impossible. So, Lord, thank you for your goodness and love, and we commit one another to you. We pray for each other that we will be restored and refreshed in the gift of faith this coming week. Guide us where we're to go and in what we're to do. Whisper to us through the Spirit's power. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord of creation, to you be all praise. Let's sing together.